Welcome to Legends with Bevo. Thanks to The Holdy, Coopers, and Anytime Fitness Glenelg.
Get it quiet down the back, please. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Live Legends with Bevo here at The Holdy once again. And oh boy, we're joined in by an absolute legend tonight. He's a two-time premiership player with the Adelaide Crows. 133 games in total. That was 38 with the Doggies, 95 with the Crows, of course. Also captain South Adelaide and the Bays. And he loves telling me about this and telling everyone about this. Back in 2010. Front cover men's health model, ladies and gentlemen. The one and only Kim Costa.
Thanks, Kevo, and that's an absolute lie. I don't talk about myself that much at all.
Well, I don't know about that, mate. I've heard a few stories, but we'll get to that a bit later on. Let's start with your career, though, mate. You started all the way down at South Adelaide as a young fella, and then obviously went on to play for the Dogs, then back to the Crows, two-time premiership player. Tell us how it all happened, mate.
It all started in Whyalla. I played for the Mighty Dragons. And I was probably the best under nine footballer back there when I was only five, I think. And then obviously moved to Yankalilla, played with the Tigers, and I was probably the best player there as well. I've actually got a mate here that I play with then. I'll give him a plug, Troy Smedley. He could probably actually vouch for that. I was probably the best player in the team. Honestly, I am very humble. I went to South Adelaide from under 12s right through to league, and then in 92 was drafted to the Bulldogs. I didn't actually go the first year. It was quite interesting. I think there was about six guys that I played with in that year that all got drafted. So there was Andrew Osborne, Chris Groome, Randall Bone, Trent Mills, there was Matthew Rogers. And there might have been one other, but all drafted at the same time. We actually didn't go. Mark Naley had come back, I think, the year before, and I reckon what happened was they finished top in 91, and I think what happened was John Reid was our coach, and Harry Kernahan was the footy manager back then, and I think they went, well, what a great group of young kids we've got here. This could be our chance to play finals and go the next step. So I think they actually all sort of said, well, you guys aren't ready to go for that level. And do I regret it? Not really, because I had a good year the next year. We didn't play finals, but then was lucky enough to head over to the Bulldogs in the end of 93 and play with them for a couple of years.
And what made you come back to the Adelaide Crows? Obviously, it was a very successful time back in Adelaide with those two premierships, but what was the reason for coming back to the Crows?
It's funny, isn't it? Everyone says it's all for family, but you know what? Honestly, it was money. Who doesn't leave for money, Bevo? Come on, seriously. All the players these days go, I want to go home, I want to see my family, be closer, which you probably do. End of the day, it comes down to money. It was our job. You're not in the game for very long, so to come home, get paid a bit more money. I love the Bulldogs. It was great for me, and still got a couple of good friends back there, but they didn't have the finance to pay me when they had superstars at the football club.
I think that's a pretty good answer, mate, and yeah, certainly made a wise decision with the two flags. Let's talk about 97 and 98. Obviously, 97 was that first ever premiership for the Crows. In 98, you did it again. What was that feeling like, you know, going back to back and just all that history that you created? It must be a pretty amazing achievement.
Yeah, it's funny that the 98 one, everyone asks about that. It's quite funny. I watched a fair bit on the bench, to be quite honest. But you know what? Just being there and watching the difference of the turnaround after halftime was quite amazing. And to do it for the second time was the first time that's happened in a long time as well. And I don't think we actually had the best team in talent-wise in the both years, but we actually just knew our role. We loved each other like brothers. We did everything together. Every weekend we'd go out, have good times, and we just knew everyone. We knew everybody's faults and those sorts of things. We knew how to play with each other.
And let's hear your stories of Blighty, because we all know that the success that he's had at the Adelaide Crows, and he's known as the Messiah. What was he like as a coach, though? And we've heard, you know, he likes to dish out decent spray. Did you cop any at all, Kimbo? Or, you know, some of the other boys, no doubt, used to cop a few?
Is he watching this?
No, he's not.
Nah, look, you know, I think if you asked every one of the players about Blighty, they would... different opinions of all of them, but I would say they probably all think that he was probably our best coach. He taught us the game of footy. Like, it was interesting. He said, even though we're adults and we know how to tie our shoelaces up, he used to tell us how to, you should tie your shoelace up so you wouldn't do a Matthew Liptak tumble punt. To me, look, was I the best player? I'll tell you, yes, I was, and I probably should have been used a lot more, but I just knew my role for the footy club, and I was in his best 21 every week. I knew what I had to do. I did get some nicknames from Blighty, if that's what you're asking. Mine was Triple F, and it was fumble, fall over, and up. So, I suppose you can't swear on here, so that was one of them. What we used to do every Monday night, we'd have a review of the game. And if you actually run the review, it wasn't good. Like, you're going to start the night, it wasn't great. And there was always a rule that if you're on it 1 week, you should not be on it probably ever again. And I remember one day we played Hawthorn, and I was actually probably best on ground. I did. If you actually go back and look at the history of it all, I did get the 3 Brownlow votes. I was on Shane Crawford. And the funniest thing is, I went for a ruck tack with Shane Crawford, and I did jump high enough and try to flick it over the back, and stops the video, and he goes, in all seriousness, Kim, you can't jump over the Sunday Mail. So what are you doing? But there were lots of stories about Blighty, but they're the ones that I suppose I can project and tell everybody.
Well, I actually rang Blighty during the week, Kimbo. I've got some interesting information from the great man. Now, he tells me in 97, going into the last term, you've laced out Jars with a beautiful left-footed pass that was absolutely perfect. And Blighty said, well, this is Jars' words, they knew that they were over the line when this happens. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's very true. I don't really know if it was like a fluke, because I'm actually gifted on both sides. I just never used my left foot that much. All I remember is I believe there was actually Daryl Hart went to the coach's box next door and said to Stan Owls, if he's doing stuff like that, mate, you're gone, you're done. Darren Jarman did turn around to fullback Shanahan and said, mate, bad luck, that never happens.
That's a great story. And Blighty actually spoke pretty positively about you as well, though, Kimbo. He said, out of the 52 possible games in 97-98, you played 50 of them, though, and the first two you missed because of injury. That's still a pretty good record for someone who has the nickname of the Triple F.
Yeah, I didn't even know that myself. That's probably a pretty good stat. I've actually been pretty lucky with injuries. I've never really had any muscle injuries in my life. It's always been impact injuries. And I suppose you get them from being as hard as I was, you know. So, look, I do remember 97, because I did come back from a knee reconstruction, and all I remember is the first few weeks of the guys playing. I was ready to go, and Blighty would take me into the rooms and say, are you ready to play? I said, yep. He goes, I'll give you one more. And it was so frustrating. He said it for a few weeks, and in the end, it was quite funny, because I remember playing my first game against Central's at Elizabeth with South. And I reckon in the first probably 5 minutes, I reckon I got concussion or got knocked out. I don't know what it was. I don't remember much of the game, but the next week I was back playing.
There you go. And let's talk about 2010. Men's health, male model, very front cover. Mate, what sort of training was involved with this? And what sort of diet did you have to, you know, go through? Because it must have been a hell of a lot of work.
Yep.
As we have a beer.
No, look, 2010, wow. So that's a long time ago now. If I took my shirt off, not much has changed. So if you've got Google, have a look, you'll be quite impressed. But I did put on a little bit of weight. And I was actually, I met a really beautiful young lady a couple of years before that, and I went, proposed, and we had to get married. I need some money, and I do like reading the magazine. It's a good mag, and they're actually putting up some money, and you had to tell a really good story and get really fit. So I thought, I'll have a go, and I've always been pretty good at, I suppose, telling a good story. It's funny, I've got my older sister here, Sonia, and older, correct, my older sister, and she was probably a really big influence on me because she was the biggest bullshitter, and so she actually used to tell me how to do those stories. So no, I did train quite hard. I didn't drink for a good 4 months, and I didn't eat anything bad in my body, put anything bad in there, and I trained reasonably hard, but not that hard.
It's pretty good effort though, mate. Very impressive to obviously, for those people that haven't had a look, jump on Google and have a look, because it's pretty amazing how good Kimbo was back in those days.
I just saw your screensaver and it's on there.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah. That's my inspiration. And let's get to your Mighty Adelaide Crows, because they had their very first win. A lot of people were saying that, you know, they weren't going to win a game this year, but they got over the line against the Hawks the other night. They looked quite impressive as well. Talk to us through the game, Kimbo, and the season so far, because obviously it's been a tough one for Crows supporters, but there's a few good signs there going forward to 2021.
Yeah, look, they have been pretty average all year, Adelaide. You know, I think they're going to win. I've been a tipping competition, and to be quite honest, I didn't tip them, but it was good to see them get over the line and have a win. I think Matty Nix, I feel sorry for Matty Nix, because he's come to a club that, in all seriousness, I suppose the list isn't great, but he's taken it on. I think he probably could be really good for the club. And to see them to beat Hawthorn and not get Fitzroy's record or equal their record from 1964, I think it was not winning a game, was great. And look, I think it's just been a tough year for everybody, not just AFL footballers, just everyone in general, business, people losing their jobs, and I just think it's been tough. Do I like watching the footy these days? Look, not really. I just don't think the game has evolved how it should have. It's, for me as a spectator's point of view, if you go back and even look in 2007, I think the standard of footy back then was way better than what it is now. Like, it was more contest, it was free flowing, and look, I don't know, maybe there was better players, I'm not really sure, but it has been tough for everyone, but I will just say it was good to see the Crows get a win.
I guess obviously the short breaks has a bit to do with the skill level and the games being a bit lower scoring and the quarters being a bit shorter as well though.
Yeah, look, for sure, and I think what's happened is because they have to have a shorter break, they're playing guys who either aren't ready, or it's a sign where they've recruited kids who they thought were going to be great that might not be, and it's just the talent pool. But like I said, it's shorter quarters. They're all living in a bubble. They're living away from home. They obviously have different things going on in their mind to get them up and about.
And aside from footy, involved with Fluoro Milk, a great South Australian company, love their iced coffee, Kimbo, as their sales rep. Tell us more about this role, how it all came about, and what you do in your role.
Yeah, well, I'll actually nearly be there in 4 years in December, and it was funny, I was just at a convention at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre, and Clay Sampson, who is my boss, who I did play footy with as well, was there with Mods, who does do a bit of work for the company. They just asked me if I was interested in working for them. I said, I had a job at the time, enjoyed it, but there's always opportunities to talk. And had nothing to do with money either though, Bevo, like I said about footy, man. It was just a different industry, which I thought was an amazing story, because three directors, two of them still milk cows today, and just a great story, and I just think it's a great product. So my role is virtually just a business development manager, sales rep. We all help a little bit with marketing and so forth, but I tell people I've had lots of jobs, I could name them in order of three. That would be my best. My best would be driving EJ Witten around for a month when I first went to the Bulldogs. Was the best job I've ever had in the world. Like, his stories, just a legend of a man. And then obviously playing AFL and working for Furrow Milk by far is the best job I've had.
That's wonderful, mate. Love hearing those sort of stories. And let's get back to your career. Who are some of the funniest teammates that you play with at the Dogs and the Crows over your time, Kimbo?
Look, I was lucky enough to play in an era where I think I played with a lot of champions and also played against a lot. Doug Hawkins was a dead set character of the game at the Bulldogs. Just a very, very funny man. I believe you interviewed him a few weeks ago, and he has a lot of stories. He was great. At the Crows, I know he'd want me to say that he's really funny, it's Peter Kay, but he's actually not. You actually laugh at him, not with him. And so he thinks he's pretty good. But look, I've been lucky. I've got some great mates at the Crows. We go away every year on a fishing trip, and always a lot of bragging rights of who gets the biggest fish and who catches the most and those sort of things. But to answer the question, Doug Hawkins, probably very funny. But I was lucky enough to play with Scott Wind, Chris Grant, Leon Cameron, who's now coach of GWS and just signed again. But some great people and great players in the game.
And what about some pranks during your time at both footy clubs? Because obviously we've seen Nigel Smart back in the day doing that crazy firewalk and seen other antics over the years. But is there anything you can share with the lovely people here tonight and the people watching at home?
I never played any pranks on anyone. But if you talk stories, so my first year at the Bulldogs, Terry Wheeler was my first coach for a game. But pre-season, we did this commando course at Mount Puckapunyal. If you're in the army, I reckon it would probably work for you. It'd be great. But we actually did a parachute jump. And so we get there, we're doing a whole 10-hour day of parachuting. And Terry Wheeler's idea of that was the build-up would be like playing in a grand final. So we do a whole 10-hour day. Towards the end, the instructor says, just come out and watch these guys do their landing. We weren't landing on the ground, but we were landing in the water. And all I remember is this guy with about the height of the ceiling, trying to do a flip. And he didn't hit the ground with his legs, he hit it with his whole body. And the sound was horrendous, and we've all looked at each other going, far out, lucky we're not landing on the ground. But we went out there after, and his goggles were still on the ground. They were full of blood. We ended up finding out that he punctured his lung, broke his rib, and ruptured his spleen. So we were lucky we landed in the water. So the next day, we're all head out to, I don't even know, the airfield, get on these little tiny planes and head over Werribee. Where the sea is there at Werribee, and what happened was you got these little toggles you meant to pull, and we had a boat there. It was a fluorescent boat. You had to land by the boat. And so what happened when you jump out the plane, they tell you to sort of, it was a static line hookup, so we weren't hooked up 21. As soon as you jump, within 5 seconds your parachute's meant to open. And what happened was you count to 5 seconds, you're meant to go like 1,000, 2,000. I don't know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and it didn't actually open. And I was spinning around going, oh, I'm going to die. I'm just going to die. I didn't open my eyes. And you had an emergency chute that if you had to pull that, if you thought the other one's looking open, I went, lucky the other one did. Sort of lifts you up a little bit. And then you had to sort of use these toggles to guide you. And I went to pull them in, and the chute sort of virtually caved in. I said, I'm not touching him. So ended up way out to sea. But the funny thing is, Stephen Wallace was our captain at the time. He did the same thing, and he went out further. And all I remember is the boat coming past me, and I'm swinging towards it. And I just wait there, mate. Gotta go to him first. And then, sharks, sharks. it was funny, man. Like I said, Terry Wheeler's analogy of that was, it's gonna be like a grand final build up, and I can tell you, there's nothing like that at all.
That's a great story, mate. Love it. And before we let you go, let's talk about your coaching time, because you were at the Bays just across the road there a few years ago as the assistant coach. Any aspirations going forward to do any more coaching?
I wouldn't have thought. It's quite funny. Floyd O'Toole. Floyd's here from Coopers. I coached him at Sacred Heart Old Collegians. He's probably got some funnier stories to tell you about me than what I do about Blighty. But I went and helped out the Bays a couple of years ago. Narelle Smith was the first female reserves coach. Went her helped her out. She's now with the Adelaide Crows women's team. Great lady. She never rings me anymore because I think she's a little bit too good. Hope she's watching and she has my number. But no, she was brilliant. And you know what? I enjoyed my time there with her, but the game's changed so much and it's actually quite frustrating being a coach. You actually have to admire all coaches because at the end of the day, when you're a player, you actually have control and you know what you're doing, but as a coach, you have no control. You can only tell them what you want them to do, but sometimes it doesn't happen. So it's quite frustrating. And no, I don't have any ambition at all to coach.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the wonderful Kim Costa. A big round of applause from him.
Thanks, Bella. And can we thank Jeff and the Holdy for having us again?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not my fun, mate. Yeah, of course, Coopers, Jeff and Floyd. Lovely work, guys.
And all the people that have stayed here and listened. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And Kim's actually finally got a gift pack here as well tonight. It's all the way from Fluro Milk, great South Australian products. All you have to do is answer a very easy question. Two numbers that Kimbo wore at the Adelaide Crows, what were they?
We're gonna ask the table over here.
I only
have
one,
one
nine.
That was my very first one. I did my knee in that. I wore one for longer than that after. It's my favourite number. I didn't win a best and fairest or anything like that. I played 100 odd games. I got close, but
think Gary Ablett. Gary Ablett, what number did he wear?
10.
Oh. Yeah, correct. That was the best number 5 LA footy club. So you can get the pack. We've actually got like one of each flavour of 500 mils and some yogurts.
That's my wife, mate, so thanks. Thanks, buddy. Cheers, mate.